Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, here we are again on our St. Patrick's Day show in Tucson, Arizona, Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Always a pleasure to have some in-studio guests to shift it up a bit. I'd like to welcome two professionals from Youth on Their Own, Teresa Liverzani Baker, as well as Kathy Kang. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Let me give a brief introduction. Our segment, by the way, we're entitling The U.S. Educational Crisis, and I think you'll catch up real quick as to why we selected that title. Teresa is a first-generation Italian, after my own heart, by the way, growing up in Wisconsin, attending the University of Wisconsin for a B.S. in education with a focus on art in the K-12 sector. Teresa started her career as an educator, indeed, advancing them from being a buyer to national sales manager for Robinson's. With a lifelong passion for volunteering for organizations such as the American Red Cross, Big Brothers Big Sister, and the American Cancer Society, Teresa shifted to the nonprofit sector full-time to become manager of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Association and then director of St. Augustine Catholic High School here in Tucson. She joined Youth on Her Own just coming up now here in our third year as the executive director. Kathy Kang is a member of Teresa's board, and her college focus was on business administration and marketing. It opened doors to becoming an account executive and computer instructor, help desk analyst and supervisor, and also a network engineer. A mother of young boys now, Kathy leverages her organization and advertising skills to benefit the Tucson Moms networking organization. Also, ever the athlete in tennis and triathlons, frankly, Kathy is a stay-at-home mom, but she's never home. She will be telling us more today about chairing the Talk of the Town event coming up on March 30th at Lowe's Ventana Resort to benefit Youth on Their Own. Well, again, welcome, ladies. A delight to have you on. So why don't you start me out here, Teresa, and give us the 50,000-feet view of Youth on Their Own.
Youth on Their Own was created 26 years ago here in Tucson, Arizona, by a guidance counselor whose name is Ann Young, and she noticed that there were kids in her school that were struggling and came to find out that they were homeless. The mission of Youth on Their Own has remained the same for 26 years, which is to support the high school graduation of homeless and abandoned youth in Tucson.
Now, I know that was the amphitheater district, if I recall,
Yes. Reading
up on your history. But, you know, lest anyone think it doesn't touch a lot of other high schools, I think we need to be mindful of that, don't we?
Our program today is in over 120 schools from as far north as Marana, Catalina Foothills High School, Tanque Verde High School, all the way to Vail, Sales, Saurita, and all of Metro Tucson. So the program has obviously expanded tremendously from that one school.
And in 26 years, 11,000 students. It's phenomenal. Kathy, I imagine as a board member, this must be such a fulfilling opportunity for you to be part of this team.
It absolutely is. I got introduced to Youth on Their Own through my dear friend, Leanna Cento. She actually was assisting one of the Youth on Their Own grads. She was living with her all the way from age 2 on up. And I just saw the difference that was being made. The program really does show a difference immediately, you know, that these children, the teen group, that are somewhat neglected, I think,
Sure. As,
you know, there's not that many organizations out there or charity groups that really focus on the teen group. You know, you have some of the ones for, you know, juveniles and things like that, but ones that aren't troublemakers, it's really no fault of their own that they're in this situation, and they just need somebody to kind of edge them on.
And in fact, that's a real specific criteria, isn't it? These are really fundamentally great kids. So they're not hooked up to some of the other dysfunctional things that can happen this day and age with drugs and gangs and so on. So that, as you say, they're an underserved population.
Mm-hmm. They're not dysfunctional. In order to come into our program, they're not allowed to be involved in drugs, alcohol, or gangs. The kids in our program come from all walks of life, and typically they are victims of parents that really shouldn't have been parents, or for whatever reason can't be strong parent role models. And so, you know, the teenage years are difficult enough when you're a functional student and have a supportive family behind you. But obviously, if you don't have supportive parents, there's just so many opportunities to fall off the path.
Well, Kathy, the fact that is this, the founder of the organization just noticed different behavior sets. Something as simple, I would imagine, as mentoring the students on good study habits.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of volunteer opportunities within YODO for mentoring, giving them good examples, and getting them coached with just some simple life skills. You know, they really have to grow up fast because they don't have that adult supervision or opportunity to model off of a good parent figure.
And in fact, you might even said they already did grow up fast, but they skipped some things that didn't equip them with the life skills to be able to cope then during this already physically and emotionally changing time for them.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So we mentioned already volunteers. I know you have a tremendous volunteer team, don't you, Teresa?
We do. We have a lot of people that bring a variety of talents and time to our organization. Kathy is a great example of that. You know, we have a very strong board of directors, a leadership council, and volunteers, especially in the schools, our unsung heroes are our school liaisons. In every school that Youth on Their Own is affiliated with, we have what's called a YODO school liaison, and it's actually a member of the faculty or staff at that school that volunteers their time to become the administrator, so to speak, of Youth on Their Own's program within the school. So when you stop and think about it from a former educator's perspective, I mean, that's absolutely phenomenal, because as an educator, I can tell you, you don't even have enough time to go to the bathroom, let alone
how do they find this time?
Do anything else. And so these are people that are so passionate about seeing kids succeed and graduate from high school. And we have one in every school where, as I said, up to 120 schools where we have a school liaison. And they're our first line of defense in terms of helping kids to be identified and come into our program. But they volunteer all their time.
So, Kathy, maybe you can comment to us, how is it the students come to the program? Are they actually identified, or do the students themselves, vis-a-vis seeing what their peers are doing, maybe Teresa, you could tell us, how do they come forward?
Well, it's a combination of things. In order to come into our program, the kids, they have to be enrolled in school. So they have to come to Youth on Their Own through a school. That's not to say that we don't take kids that come into the office and say, I'm not in school and I want to be.
So you can you help
me?
Them get placed and then come
yes.
back in the program.
But they typically get identified in school. The personality of a Youth on Their Own student is someone who really doesn't want to be identified because they're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. They're ashamed. I mean, I can give you stories. We had a phenomenal young woman last couple years ago that graduated from one of the biggest high schools here in Tucson. She graduated at the top of her class. She was the valedictorian. She got a four-year scholarship. She was offered to 10 major universities here in the United States. She didn't want anyone to know she was homeless. She came home from school one day in her junior year, and both of her parents were gone. Lock, stock, and barrel, took everything and just left her. They were, you know, they had their own addictive personalities, alcohol, et cetera, and just decided they were going to check out or whatever, and that's what they did. And so, you know, she was identified by her guidance counselor that recognized that she had an issue, and sometimes the faculty can recognize it. You see a, you know, kid that's in your class and he's wearing the same clothes every day, or he doesn't have lunch money, or he's sleeping, or someone will, you know, one of their peers will say, she's been sleeping on my sofa, and then she goes to somebody else's house to sleep on their sofa. And so that's sort of how we find them, or they find us.
Yeah, they find you. Right. So you've now graduated quite a population over these 26 years. Many times, I would imagine, do you find some of your graduates that have come back to now be part of the volunteer corps?
Absolutely.
Yes.
The president of the board right now is the first YODO student.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. So her name is Dina Smith, and and she's actually going to be speaking at our Talk of the Town event on March 30th. And she's one of, 11,000 successes.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think YODO students who graduate definitely give back, and they give back to Tucson.
Yeah, interesting.
We have a lot of people that graduated as a result of the Youth on Their Own program that live and work in Tucson as very productive members of our community, from people like Dusty Peace, who's the head football coach at CDO, to Variety, Marion Conrad Lalonde, who's an attorney with the law firm of DeConcini here. You know, I was at an out-of-the-way branch from our office the other day of Wells Fargo, and I was making a deposit, and one of the checks was Youth on Their Own check, and the branch manager had to come over, and she saw the check, and she said, "Oh my gosh," she started crying. She said, "I couldn't be at this job. I wouldn't have had this opportunity if it wouldn't have been for Youth on Their Own to help me get through high school." So, you know, they live and work within our community. And like I tell people when I go out and talk about Youth on Their Own, is that if you have homeless, uneducated teens that we're not helping on the front end, they become homeless, uneducated, unemployable adults. And we will have to help them on the back end. And they do stay in our community. And people are always so amazed to find out that they're homeless kids in District 16. Like, oh, we're immune from that.
Mm-hmm,
we're
not.
So
yeah, that's not true at all. The other thing I know is a real compelling point for this being a Tucson-based not-for-profit as well. You did not receive any federal funding, if I understand. You certainly can get grants. But also you made a very clear point that 81 cents of every dollar that comes in is indeed in some way touching back to the students.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to the program, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we've worked very hard to streamline our expenses and find all types of support through in-kind donations that obviously help propel our mission forward, but don't cost us and doesn't affect our bottom line. And it's important to, you know, as a donor to look at that, to look at an organization and say, how are you spending your money, especially in today's economy? Because every donor is an investor, mm-hmm, in our program, in our mission, and we have to respect their investment and treat their money with, you know, the most austere proficiency possible. So
for the largest impact. Kathy, you've mentioned now a couple times, of course, your mind is all wrapped around your big fundraiser that's coming up here on March 30th at Lowe's Ventana Canyon. Tell our listeners about what that's about, because we want to give them the compelling reason to pick up the phone or go to the website and buy tickets and join in.
Sure. Let's see. We are having our annual Talk the Town fundraiser, and it is on March 30th, Friday, March 30th, starting at 5:30. We have still some tickets available for seating. Not many, but we are almost at a sold-out capacity, which is always a good thing. We have a high school band, Jovair, which is a steel drum band, that will be featured during our silent auction. We have a lot of great silent auction items. We have live auction items, and then we've got our theme is called Diamonds in the Rough, and the reason obviously behind that is that each of these students are very special, and they're our own diamonds in the rough. And our attire, which is going to be a lot of fun this year, is blue jeans and bling.
Oh, dear. Absolutely bling. I can do that one. That's great. Well, and so you've been doing this fundraiser many times a year. Of course, you do, I think, three other major events, if I recall. So tapping on the community at the same time. How might other ways? You mentioned gifts in kind. What does that look like right now, Teresa? What are some of the things that are maybe on your wish list?
Well, in-kind gifts can include so many different things. This past year, we had over the last 2 years, we actually had wonderful opportunity through a company here in Tucson called AdVision that provided us with the bus transit covers and posters that are all over town wherever there's a bus stop, and they were able to give us wonderful exposure, our mission, wonderful exposure. If we would have had to have paid for that for the last couple of years, that would have cost us well into the $150,000 range.
Exactly.
So, you know, all different types of talents come together to help what we do, and we always have a long wish list, but, you know, it depends on what people want to share with us, and we're always
one
open.
One aspect, of course, for our teens, for those that are 16 and older, of course, is not just someone picking up the check for the, you know, whether it be to buy hockey equipment so they can play on the hockey team or art supplies, whatever, but also perhaps teaching them the life skills through employment. Do you also help out in terms of helping the kids find part-time jobs, or would that be something that would ever make sense?
We do. We have a variety of services that we offer them. Our program is very unique in that we provide students with two levels of support. The first is a stipend program, and they have the opportunity to earn during the school year for the 10-month school year up to $125 a month, and they earn that by having a C or better grade in every class. So it's in every class, not just a C GPA, and good attendance. Then the other arm of the program is the special needs program, which is supported through donations from the community. We have people that bring in clothing, staple food items. We do a back-to-school drive where people bring in their school supplies and new school supplies and things like that that the kids can use. And we have what's called a little mini mall at our office. And then we have our enrollment is throughout the school year. So we work on a 10-month cycle, so to speak. So as of this week, we have 630 kids in our program. And, you know, we try to obviously have enough supplies for everybody and whatever their needs are. The special needs can include bus passes. We have doctors and dentists that give of their services, tutors, mentors. You know, our focus is to get them through high school, so we do have part-time jobs available in answer to your question, but, you know, if the kids are able to do that, you know, we guide them. Obviously, if we've got a student who's struggling, we're not going to guide them to pursuing a part-time job.
Exactly. Okay. So academically, when you say
right.
For struggling academically. You know, the other impressive statistic I have in front of me that you'd shared with earlier is the fact that you do have, you know, a 92% graduation rate.
We do.
You know, compared to the typical average here in Tucson is 78, I think you had said.
78 last year. This year it's down to 75%. And, you know, it's really amazing because Arizona is number one in the United States for high school dropouts.
Yeah.
And we have this phenomenal program that works. And, you know, we need it in our state, not just in Tucson. I mean, it has a track record of success. You know, for high schools, this is a big deal because as a principal and in schools, we're evaluated on our graduation success. And so every single kid deserves the opportunity to graduate from high school, especially in this country.
Yeah, I amen to that. Kathy, the individuals that would volunteer to become mentors for the young people and homework coaches or whatever that one would look like, does the organization provide special training to make sure you do have as best qualified volunteers?
There's a separate program called Touchpoint, and the Touchpoint people can get trained, and then they get paired with a youth on their own high school student so they can work and have to develop a relationship with them.
That's great.
And so that's a separate organization, but they do partner with Youth on Their Own as well.
That's wonderful. In fact, we've had Joan Martin and Howie Adams
right.
on the show, of course, and Howie used to be very involved
sure.
with Youth on Their Own.
We also have another program through Goodwill, Good Guides, that does the same thing. And, you know, Youth on Their Own partners with a lot of different other nonprofits in Tucson. Our mission is very unique, so we're obviously alone in the focal point of we address, you know, the youth group of ages 13 to 21. The other things that they need, for example, the tutoring, et cetera, we source out to other organizations that's their specialty. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in today's world, you know, you can't just walk into our office and say, well, I want to mentor a Yodo student. You're going to be fingerprinted. You're going to go through some training.
Sure.
And you're going to go through that in an organization that's their mission. So that's how we partner them.
That's great. No conversation is complete without me asking all my guests the one closing question, although, so I don't want to run out of time here, and that would be, you know, how do you think you've changed by being part of bringing change to these youth? And Kathy, let me start with you on that one. How do you think you've changed in being part of the board and contributing your time, not just running this fundraiser? I understand you're also going to tap on your IT skills and your talents with these things we call computers, like some of us aren't. But how do you think you've changed the most in doing this work now?
I think because I see that a lot of even my friends are in my family, even my sons, they're starting to learn about giving back. And I think that's the biggest difference, is that that giving and donating your time is always going to be something that carries on. It's an invaluable gift. So I think that's the biggest thing.
And also, how it doesn't it level us up and help us keep perspective on the things that we've got to deal with that aren't so positive, are trivial by comparison to something like youth that are homeless or abandoned. So how about you, my friend, who actually shifted from, you know, the commercial world to not-for-profit work, and maybe comment about that as well as how you think you've changed to leading this organization just within these 2 years, now coming up on three?
Well, I think, you know, I think growth and change is a daily process. For me, I've always been passionate about education. I come from a long line of educators, and I'm a mother, and I think everybody deserves to have an opportunity in education. And this is a wonderful mission. We make a tremendous difference. I love what I do. I love knowing that every single kid that comes into our program is going to be successful because of what we provide. It's a very clean, simple mission, and we make a difference, and we need to go out of this world knowing that we have made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that true? Your role as an executive director of a not-for-profit, maybe you can comment on some of the leadership challenges or the ahas, or gee, they didn't put that in their brochure, that nonetheless have come to you here.
Well, let me tell you, it's not a job for the faint of heart. My director of development is a retired 28-year military colonel from Davis Monthan Air Force Base. And a couple weeks ago, he's been with Yodo since August. And he said to me, I've been in the military for 28 years, sent people to war. And he said, it's never been as stressful as one day working in nonprofit. So, you know, it's a lot of multitasking. It's up and down and just dealing with things as they come up. So,
but if you think about your own background of having been in sales and marketing, and then also having been in development,
yes,
what a nice place to have all these things converge and come together.
Well, you know, God took a long time to put me in the right place. And when he did, he made sure that I had all of the skills that I could possibly need to be successful. And it's really a result of that, and very providential, as you had said earlier.
Plus that, and the fact that both of you are also moms and parents, and
yes,
you know, the life experiences, of course, a generation apart, because yours are so young, Kathy. But the role modeling and the lessons we learn that aren't in the manual anywhere that we can bring to bear in our careers.
Mm-hmm.
Then. Well, again, a reminder, our listeners, you can go to www.yoto.org. Again, Youth on Their Own. Their fundraiser that's coming up March 30th at Lowe's Ventana Canyon. Still a few tickets, so check the website, or also their number is area code 520-293-1136. So, again, Teresa Baker and Kathy Kang, thanks so much for contributing to our show here.
Thanks for having us.
We'll be in touch. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580. 544-2580.